This is the Reading Aloud Podcast.
I'm Marisol Collette.
And I'm Adam Collette.
And you love us because we love you.
We sure do. And let's get to today's conversation.
I love it when you turn your hat backward. What does that mean?
I mean, it's a habit, you know, like
you,
I have.
No, you took a, you had your hat on forward. You took a deep breath. You picked up your hat. You turned it on backwards. You breathed out. And now your left eye is like a little bit higher than your right.
Listen, this eye or this eye?
That eye.
This eye, which is my right eye, has been, it's weird. It's been like, I've been like twitching. I've been getting a little, something's up with it. It's getting sticky.
Oh, I don't like that sound of that. Take it to the doctor. It's also a little lower. The thing is that you've lifted your left eye up with your hat. However, there's one program that does, I think it's called StreamYard, when I'm on a social media platform.
It streams
with somebody
on all the other platforms?
Yes. Well, it's the only one that flips your image. And oh my gosh, all of a sudden, one half of my face is lower, but because I've been looking at it the other way in mirrors and on Zoom this whole time, I never noticed it. It's wild. I'm like, oh, and my lip, it's like...
We're just not symmetric. We're not models.
But we're also just not symmetrical. Nobody is, but I never even saw it.
Uh-huh. Isn't that funny? Picasso was right. We're all just like,
France. We are... family. None of my siblings and me. We're not gonna. I don't have siblings. Neo is not having siblings in the traditional sense of the word.
Oh,
wait. His bestie, the one that was born 10 days before.
Yeah.
Not the one that he's frenemies with at school. Yeah. Is like legit.
Who hit him in the head with a boot the other day, he told me.
Whatever. They like always hit each other. He said. What did he say? Neo and I were born together.
Aww.
I know. And his mom was like, it gets even better. And I can't remember exactly, but he was like, and his mom was like, well, not exactly. Y'all were born about 10 days apart. And he's like, no, Neo and I were born together. And she's like, not exactly, but yeah, sort of. And he was like, we were born at the same time or something. I was like, oh, they were chatting. They were chatting in the cosmos before.
That's right.
Do you think about anything else other than babies?
Not really.
Me neither.
Yeah.
When's that going to happen?
What, a baby?
No, the end of that thought process.
I don't know. I'm working on integrating it, I'll say.
Do you think we're going to be done with that thought process tomorrow?
No.
Why?
Well, even though I'm getting a vasectomy tomorrow, I hear that there's still a slight chance 7 days afterwards. Not that I'm going to feel like having sex, but like there is a slight chance 7 days afterwards.
Oh, no, no. Au contraire, my friend. I don't think I'm ovulating then. I think that there was always a little bit of a chance and I haven't started my period yet.
Got it. Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, I think when you start your period and then after tomorrow when I get a vasectomy, but there's a difference here because we will know what are, like, there will be certainty around that. But I also think that we will always carry with us this experience of our fertility journey. And in that, I don't think we're going to be thinking about it every day, but like, it is going to be with us for, you know, the rest of our lives, like this journey.
I was shopping at a mall yesterday with a client.
Yeah.
And I was looking around and I saw these families. I saw this one woman who had three kids and she was pregnant. And I just saw these families and I was like, people are doing this all the time, making babies all the time.
All the time.
And how wild that is that people are making babies all the time.
Yeah.
And I thought about how hard it was for us and why we did surrogacy, why we tried surrogacy. And it, I was like, I could do it if I needed to. Like if I could do it. And the reason why I'm saying this, oh, and then I saw a couple of families, right? So this is interesting. I saw a couple of families with multiple kids, at least two. And I thought, I did that thing where I was like, oh, that could be so sweet. But from the place of you haven't had your vasectomy yet, And I was like, after you have your vasectomy and all is said and done, and I have my next period and everything, I will never have that feeling again of like, oh, maybe that'll happen and maybe that'll be so sweet. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about any other thing where, like, under some terrible circumstance, we become the guardians of friends' children or anything like that, or in some, like, wild world where something happened. I'm talking about the reality of us not having any more kids, period.
Right.
And that was the last time I was ever going to have that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, this is the... it's hard to even put it in words, but this is the epitome of what we've spent the last 7 years doing is, you know, we are still trying to meet our this year's sex goal 73 times, a little bit less than the last time. I think we're going to do great. And I thought, I said to you the other day, I was like, I'm 100% sure I'm pregnant. And if what?
Oh, you did say that to me. It's just funny.
Why is it funny?
It's not funny. Well, funny is it's just I'm finding humor in it of you just being like, I'm 100% sure you're pregnant.
Why is it funny?
I don't know. It tickled me. There's no specific reason, I guess, because it's just it's so crazy and ridiculous that it's funny. You know what I mean? Like,
what's crazy and ridiculous?
The fact that you would be pregnant after all of this. Mm-hmm. The fact that you just are saying, I'm 100% sure that I'm pregnant, which you're feeling that way. We don't know if you are or not. You know, it's just like the whole thing.
Listen, this is what I'm talking about because it's so unlikely, right? It is absolutely unlikely. It is hardly a chance. After 7 years of trying in various forms, this is the last time. And I will tell you, this is the whole epitome of this whole thing is that up until this last moment, it fucks with you. It fucks with your head, fertility and infertility. And I said to you, if I'm not pregnant, because I feel 100% pregnant, and I said, if I'm not pregnant, this is just like, I'm just amazed at how much this fucks with your head. How what a ride you're on that I would feel crampy and bloated. And I like, you know, took my clothes off to take a shower and I looked in the mirror and I was like, you know, I like gasped at the size of my nipples. And I'm just like, it's like every sign points to yes. And I told my friend, and then it scared me because I was like, I don't want to be pregnant. In many ways, I don't want to be pregnant. And I talked to my friend who's been through her own fertility and loss journey, as well as is a therapist in that field. And I was like, I feel 100% pregnant, but I'm not, right? Like, there's not a good chance that I am because I was scared. And she was like, I cannot tell you how many times I was so sure I was pregnant when I was not pregnant. And then when the one time she got pregnant without fertility assistance, she said, I didn't feel pregnant at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's, of course, the attention that you're putting
towards. Do you think it's just, and this is curiosity, is it just like a mind over body kind of thing?
Well,
like,
we'll see.
Yeah.
I think that when you ovulate, your body changes. You get a little crampy and pinchy because ovulation can feel a little pinchy. Premenstrual, you know, you're bloated and your boobs are sore, all of that. Your body fluctuates. There's water retention. I mean, there's all these other things that could be happening. But if I'm not pregnant, I'm so glad to be done with this wild ride of thinking and not, it takes up even to this moment. And the last thing I'll say is a friend of mine who's had a baby, happened easily, pregnancy was great, had three losses and decided to go the IVF route. And as of now, she is pregnant. It's so exciting. She is also scared in her body because of how many losses and the number of weeks she was pregnant when she lost them. And so she's having a hard time being super happy or trusting. And she said to me the other day, she was like, I hope this doesn't land wrong. But she was like, I'm so impressed with the hope that you have held this entire time. She's like, after everything that's happened and that the likelihood of you being pregnant is nothing, you still, and it's not that I hope to be pregnant, but she's like, you still have this belief that it's possible. she was saying that hope has been one of the harder things to come by in this process. She's like, and you, basically she was like, you crazy woman, it's not happening. And yet you still somehow have this belief that it could. And it didn't land bad at all. It didn't land. I was like, it actually felt really sweet to hear. I was like, wow. Yeah, the open-heartedness and the possibility. It's just I'm open to miracles. Mm-hmm. I have more to say, but I've been saying a lot, so say something and I'll say more.
You know, I was just speaking on that. I was editing the podcast the other day.
Because our editor got a promotion and a new job.
New job.
And we're
congratulations.
Excited for them.
Remember when we used to start a podcast by singing?
We did. We are family and no siblings. This is all my no siblings and me.
But I was editing the podcast the other day, and it was a podcast where we both kind of like went really back and forth with like kind of like longer monologues. Like it would be me and I was like, man, I'm talking a lot. And then you would talk for a really long time. So I'm just wondering like if our style at all. Like I remember it when we first started recording our podcast.
Very bantery.
It was very bantery.
But that's because I interrupted you all the time.
All the time.
With random thoughts, like my ping pong brain.
Yeah, yeah. You were on full display. Ping pong was
on. Well, I've tried to be a better listener, and you've always been a good listener, so my monologues come easy.
I just think you're super interesting, and you're super wise.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's not true. I mean, it is true, but that's not why. You're just a really good... You love to create space for people.
Yeah, but I've learned so much from you by listening.
A good listener. What have we been calling you, this whole wise man? You're the one that's always dropping the wisdom.
Only because... And you think I'm joking when I say it's just a reflection of you, but I gain all my wisdom from just listening and then being able to say it back.
No, you have things I've never said or thought of.
Sure, but it's a compilation of things that I've picked up on, you know. And then like, I don't know, it's just it's not like you learn by listening. I learn by listening.
That was a whole podcast that I wanted to do, which was this question of you've always said I'm better because of you, and people say that a lot. I'm better, like I'm a better person because of my friends or the person I'm married to or my partner. You know, it finally occurred to me that that might actually be true.
Hell yeah.
But that, do you really believe that without me in your life, you wouldn't be as good of a person?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because the version of myself is more authentic and true, and there's just a way in which there are important things like love, accountability, commitment, communication, effort, struggle, joy. All these things are elevated through our relationship.
See, I would have, in the old bantery me, I would have dug in for a second and been like, effort. It's a lot of effort to be in a relationship with me.
Of course it is. I'm sure it's a lot of effort to be in a relationship with me.
Not an ounce of effort to be in a relationship with you. Not an ounce.
That's not true.
Not an ounce.
That's not true. You constantly talk about...
you constantly criticize me.
Well, you constantly talk about how, like, you know, it's hard to be, like, my, you know, inadequacies of like sometimes following up with things of, you know, you getting on the same page or not being tuned, whatever they are. I don't have them on the top of my mind. I don't carry them
with
me. But
you know,
but
I
like,
would be doing all those things on my own, which is a lot of weight. And you do so much.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of eggs for dinner before I met you.
That was not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I thought you were just going to say, like, when you started, you were like, I ate a lot. And I was just going to say, like, did she eat a lot of ice cream recently or something? And then you said eggs. And I was like, did she eat eggs for breakfast this morning? And then you were just like, for dinner.
For dinner.
Which I do know that. You did eat a lot of eggs for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. easy. I'll never forget my mom teaching me to cook eggs low and slow and moving them around and how they like get more. It's the eggs cooking in scramble style are really cool.
Yeah.
Listen, how do you think I'm a better person because of you?
I think you have more confidence. Mm-hmm. I think that you, and this is not all because of me, but I think I've been an influence in it. So, because I don't think any way that you're better is solely based on me. But I've been a part of it and an influence, and I'm honored to be a part of it. I think your world has opened up.
Mm-hmm.
I think your spirituality has opened up. I think your possibilities have opened up. I think that you, I think you're more inspired because of our relationship.
How could that ever be effortful to be in relationship with you when all of that's happening?
Do you know how hard it is to be inspired?
It is. Did you misunderstand me? Did you take that? Did you do what you do, which is heard it as a negative?
I thought you were saying, like, do you know how easy that is to be inspired is what I heard you saying. And I was like, no, it's really hard to be inspired. So it's, or effortless, we were saying. But yeah.
No.
Yeah. I heard it wrong. I'm sorry.
But that's so typical.
Yeah, it's you're a lot like, of effort to be in a relationship.
You're like, oh, she's definitely coming in hot and hard on me. No, I was saying, how could it be effortful to be in a relationship with you when those are the outcomes? It's not. Sorry, I'm a burden on your life, whole life, forever.
How am I a better person because of you?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Come on. Think about it. You've been there
this
past 10
years. We talked about accountability, but you won't follow through with anything. I think you're more grounded. But, you know, it's so interesting. And I don't know what this says about me, but sometimes I worry that you're less free. And that's actually not a good thing. But you always say, I would choose this. And I mean, you're effusive with your love of me and the love of this relationship. And the fact that this feels like it's hard, obvious choice for you. I don't know. I feel like you were just kind of more of a dreamer. But I also think that came with a lot of sadness. Like that there wasn't a groundedness.
I know what it was like to be free and single. And there's a lot of fun stuff in there.
But it wasn't just fun. It was like, I don't know, you dreamt. There were no ends to your dreams, which was so cool when I met you. That was part of what inspired me.
Mm-hmm. I think you've helped to provide direction and put those dreams into reality, though.
That's true. You do have lots of dreams and brainstorms, and sometimes they wouldn't come to reality. That's true. Mm-hmm. I'm a get her done kind of girl.
Get her done.
You're knit. What? Is that an okay thing to say?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. We're not talking about ladies here.
No.
Okay. Yes. You're done.
It's
her. Is not her. Her.
Get her done.
I think it's her.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, like, I think that's, I don't think it's meant in, like, a...
I like the people in the Pacific.
I mean, I don't know where it originated from, but it's just a country saying.
I love that the people in the Pacific Northwest are like, wait, what? And then, where's our furthest reach? Didn't we have, like, Vietnam?
We have a couple of Japanese listeners.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. All right. Anyways, what you were saying was really beautiful about all the ways that you've grown. I would like to say one more thing about the baby, and then I wanted to hear from you a little more. The reason why it's even on my mind that it's a possibility that we could be pregnant, right? That it's even a remote possibility is because of the baby medium we saw saying that there was a girl out there that was like, pick me. She started it by saying, and I want to talk to you about getting pregnant naturally. And this girl that's like, pick me. And she said right after that, she said, but if you don't, she will come through in your lineage at some point, which was very helpful for me to hear because I didn't want to feel the pressure of like, a soul out there that was really eager to get here and that wouldn't get here unless I did, unless I got pregnant. And so the, to know that she would come whenever, but you know, I'm like, this is your last chance, girly girl. If you're coming, you're coming. And if I got pregnant, first of all, this would be one of those stupid stories that other people who are dealing with fertility
would hate.
That's
my biggest fear. Yeah. Not really, is, but like my biggest superficial fear about this is that then we have to deal with all the damn people. See, told you, as soon as you didn't think it would happen, it happens. But oh my God, I can't
even.
I can't even about that.
I did walk
it in. It gives me so much anxiety to have to deal with those conversations.
We won't tell anybody.
I listen except to this radio everybody. Show. I listen to this radio show, and he does a good job of when he says things that he's like, one of the other guys on the show is named Shannon. He's like, Shannon, let me tell you a secret. You know, but he's live on air, you know, but whispering, it's funny.
I love it. If I get pregnant, it would be a miracle, and that would have been her. It would have meant
to be. Yeah. And that's what we said.
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like I'm 100% pregnant. Everybody out there is like holding on hope, which I can't stand, because I walked into a dinner party with some friends the other night, and one of them was like, "You are glowing," right after I said I felt pregnant. I was like, well, and then, you know what's hard for people is that we're done. It's really hard for people. I've had people be like, well, why would you get a vasectomy? Because this is straight hell.
Yeah.
This is hell. It is hell. I need to open up my mind to other things. I've got to stop thinking about this. It takes up too much. And at some point I don't want to be pregnant. I'm not going to want to be pregnant at 45.
Right.
And it's not good for me to be pregnant. Again, we didn't go all that way for surrogacy for nothing. And then other people have said, you know, and it's fine. It's all in the best intentions. But like, maybe something else will happen, or maybe a kid will come to you in another way or whatever. That's not what we want. That's not ever something that we've wanted. We are not committed to a family of four, because if we were, we would figure out another way to continue to grow our family.
Right.
But that's not what we are asking for.
That's right.
We are committed to what is happening now, and we are committed to being done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, if something, you know, if some human needs us, we will be there
for them. If one comes through, well, of course.
But that's not going to happen, and that's not what we're aiming for. That's not something we're going to focus on. I'm just saying, if a human, baby or adult, ever needs us, we will care for them.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to have to deal with your own grief about this, because we have dealt with it. We are fine.
Clearly.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I cry every day about it. But it's just because I feel loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's just emotional. It was so much.
So much. So much for so long. I mean, anything that is a part of your life for that long, that's so much effort. So many hours. And whatever way it came to a close, it's going to be emotional.
Mm-hmm. It's emotional. Do you feel like we need to have a party for your van's deaths?
For my what?
Van's deference.
Van's deference.
That's what they're chip chopping tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't know the name of it.
You better do your research. Get her done.
I just say get her done. No, I don't think we need a party. My men's group wants to meet that night, so
I really hope you can get in a car, because I really think you should go.
Yeah, I really think I should.
Are they meeting for your van's deaths, or are they meeting because this one friend that said I can't ever meet again in person because they're moving you have seen him like 5 times?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the way men's group rolls.
How does men's group roll?
We're terrible at making plans, but plans are always made.
Ooh, I like that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we just roll. You know, we've talked about this, and then there won't be any activity in planning until 25 minutes before everybody is supposed to leave. Hey, what are we doing? What are we eating? What are we bringing? I'll bring this.
I feel like that's happened in my world, too. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to claim that. That's your thing. That's your men's thing. So can you ask the doctor to give you like a centerpiece and you can throw it in a fire?
I'm not interested in that.
I am.
I don't think there's a centerpiece. I'm so sad.
Will you cut it in half and they tie it off, but they could take a little extra.
Enough. No more extra cutting.
You're not going to. It wouldn't even. Listen.
Listen, I've never had a surgery, so, you know, let me be unreasonable about it.
I am so sad I'm not going to be there. Like, I'm like beside myself that I'm not going to be there. Because I would have gotten to watch. Babe, this is a big miss. Can you set the camera up between your legs?
No.
Please.
No.
Please. Why?
Babe, I don't think you understand. Like, when I'm in a position like that, I want to just go in and be, like, centered. I don't want to have to, like, this too much, too much. I'm dealing with this. I'm trying to do this. I'm like, I want to stay focused. That's who I am. That's how I operate.
Can I just say something? No, see, you're already assuming I'm saying something bad.
No.
I just want to say, when you say that to me, I hear you.
Thank you.
It's just not the way my brain worked. So I don't mean to stress you out. You just have to say that and I will understand.
I hear you. Yes.
It makes right. good sense. It's beautiful. I learn a lot from you. It is no effort to be in relationship with you. Okay. I want to move on from this. Okay. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your morning.
Yeah, so what's funny is that, and we'll try to keep this relatively succinct.
Don't worry about it.
So what's funny about it, I feel like in the last several podcasts I've talked about therapy stuff. This one relates to, you know, our conversation today about baby stuff and things like that. So I do, in my therapy, I do IFS work, internal family systems. And today, I didn't know this going in, and if somebody who's listening is very familiar with IFS work, this may ring a bell, but my therapist said what we ended up doing, which was actually very rare, but it was called a retrieval, which was like, I basically, okay, so without burying the lead,
you found a part of yourself that was lost in the desert?
No, I met our baby.
What? The one that I'm having right now?
No, the one that didn't make it.
This time or last time?
This time, I think, wow. But I don't know.
Well, the first one was fat and really giggly. And
it
cute.
Wasn't, these weren't, the features weren't there. This one was so low, I met of the fourth, a lost fourth member of our family. Now this is all, I wasn't hypnotized or anything like that. There was no like assisted whatever. This was not like a, you know, this was just like a,
it was not from the pagan supply store.
It was not from the pagan supply store. This was just a emotional exploration. I'll say that. So, you know, as I have mentioned, I've been doing this work of like just connecting with body and mind and being able, because my mind is so dominant in my system. And I'm not going to get all into the specifics of it, but essentially I have been feeling ever since the loss, the second loss, you know, that, and I've said this to you, that I have this like sadness in me and I'm okay. But like my head has been super dominant in this process, and I experienced a lot of grief initially that came up very quickly, but then I've been kind of just whatever, okay is, you know, there, but I have had this sadness in me, and I have known that it's going to kind of like come out in a way, but it's still there, and I've just been comfortable. There's been a lot of permission from my therapist and been like, that's okay. It's okay to be in your head. It's okay to like just let that sadness be there. So anyway, I came in today, and I wasn't like, I'm ready to explore this, but he's good, and he like, I think maybe sensed it or something. But we started talking about like where that's sitting and just really just started to explore it. and really exploring it in a very internal way. And what's interesting is that I have this part of me which is like tied up with authenticity. And, you know, it was there. It kind of came in strongly, and it took me a long time. And just to give you a visual, you know, we're just sitting there, and I'm sitting, and I'm closing my eyes every now and then, but I'm not like laying down, or I'm just sitting in a chair comfortably, you know, sharing and talking. He's just asking questions. But there's this part of me that comes in when I'm like, I'm trying to kind of access, we're trying to just access the sadness and just feel it a little bit or sit with it. But constantly this other part of me is coming in that is like doubting, well, is this sadness real or is it just, are you supposed to feel sad?
Yeah, like, is it manufacturing?
It's questioning it, you know, is it manufacturing it? So it took a while to like settle that one down, you know, and like, because it was real, like it was like very stubborn in that. And like, it was kind of interfering. And what was interesting, and this is kind of funny, I ended up kind of like in my own head, like, because you're encouraged to kind of create spaces in which these characters and parts of you can operate, where you can create separation between them and your like true self. So I ended up in a gym.
Yes.
Which is funny, and like a gymnasium, which I think is actually tied to a lot of my like childhood traumas occurred in like sports and gym settings. So I think there's something tied there, but I finally got that one. It sounds funny, but it's like, it was very real. Like, sit in the bleachers.
No, like, so it's not nothing. Babe, I have sat with so many clients going through just their free associative stream of consciousness. Everything, it means something. It is not, and people are always like, I don't know where this is coming from, or this is a tangent. No, that subconscious meaning, and I think you're probably right about the like, a lot came up for you around that time period in your life.
In my life, yeah.
So you're saying the part of yourself, and it wasn't sat like, in the bleachers. Like, I'm asking, the part of yourself sat in the bleachers.
Yeah, okay. The one, the doubter.
Oh, you set the doubter aside.
Yeah, well, the one that was like, is this really sad, blah, 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 you know, good. Like that.
And he
like,
got to see this. That's kind of
well,
cool.
That was the thing. The therapist was like, can we move him away? Can we release him? And I was, after a while, I was like, no, he's there. And I was like, but he wants to be, like, he just needs to sit. And there was, like, a part of my true self that wanted to prove to him that, like, no, this sadness is real. You know? So there
I'm in the game. You're over there. You're not in charge. Yeah.
So then the sadness piece ended up, it was like this, like, kind of, I was just calling it, like, a bubble or, like, a ball. And it wasn't, like, floating up high. It was just like down near, it was in the center of the court, basically the size, pretty big, like the size of the center circle.
Can I just say, you said you weren't going to get into specifics, but I am so into this.
Are you into this?
Yeah.
So
this is you.
Yeah.
I always want to know about you.
Thanks. And in that it was being protected. Like that sadness was, there was another part. Now it wasn't like, The doubter thing was more, it wasn't like a human form, but it was more active. This was like another part, but it was like a bubble around it. And it was like cloudy. I couldn't see what was in sadness at all. Like I had no idea what was there. I couldn't see, but I was like there. And I was just like, and it was protecting, you know? And it was interesting because like we identified that as just another part that was like just being protective of it and just being there. And the first thing that he says is, like, be grateful for that. You know, be grateful for that part. Like, extend it grace and love. And it was. It's just like this whole, which is why I just have appreciated this work. It's just, it's always coming from this place of, like, it serves a purpose. There's no part of you that's bad. There's no part of you that's, like, they all serve you in a way. And it's about, like, you know. So it was like
if you build a relationship, it sounds like there's more cohesiveness
and more strength of your inner self to be able to understand how to manage and how to like navigate these parts of and their interactions, you know, with you. And so like he's like that and like, okay, so there was just some play there and that, but it was like, and then he had me kind of describe it and it's like, oh, so you can't even see the sadness, like it's cloudy. So you can imagine like orb ball.
Got it.
And so, but eventually he kind of coached me into like going there and he's like, can you see? And I was like, and then there was, I went through the clouds And there was a family of four.
Oh.
And it was funny because that was the image that came up for me initially. That was that feeling of loss. That I had lost this image of a family of four. And it wasn't like, at first I was kind of above them, not like way, like whatever, but just kind of like looking, could see the full bodies, but like above. And, but they were like, it was like almost like a cutouts kind of thing. Like it wasn't like no strong features, but definitely people, two adults, two kids. And, so at this point, also my eyes are just like completely closed. And I'm just kind of like breathing. I'm still present. I still know that I'm in the room. Again, I said this before. I wasn't like in a trance.
No, no.
This is just like.
It's deep work.
It's deep work.
And it's you know, it's sacred and precious. Thank you for sharing this.
Yeah. You know, I'm there. I'm seeing them describing. He's like, can you get closer? And this is when it got like very hard. Like I went up and just kind of ended up like. Narrowing in and kneeling down in front of the like smallest kid and just there, and I just couldn't leave. And you know, I don't know how much more there is to say with than that. Like I was just there and just with it, and just like, you know, that same, like, because we have, because, you know, we hold Neo so much, like, holding a kid. It wasn't a baby. It wasn't like a, you know, an infant. It was like a kid, like, you know, around Neo's. But this was, I didn't go to the adults or the other kid. Like, they were there, but, like, when I went in, to like be on the same level, I went right there. Like there wasn't like, oh, nice to meet you, I'm Adam. Like there wasn't that kind of interaction. It was just like there. And again, still faceless. It was just more like light being, you know? And just was there. And then eventually he's starting to like help me separate. You know, because we were there for a while. And I really didn't want to. Like, it was hard. At one point, like, I kind of zoomed all the way out. And then was like, I don't know. I was just like, my mind, I think, was like, I went to my head instead of my body and my emotions. And, like, my head was, like, also looking down from, like, a very bird's eye view at this. So I just really didn't want to leave. And, but what opened up me leaving was... There was just this feeling of, like, the kid's okay. They're okay. And they went and hugged the leg of one of the other parents. I was just like, I'm here. I'm safe. I'm happy. You good? I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, they just, like, hugged the leg of one of the adults. And I don't know if those were us, you know. It's like, babe, it didn't matter.
You know, yeah.
That was able to open up some space for me to just kind of separate. Mm-hmm. And then we took time slowly and kind of, you know, came back to the room. And 10 minutes later, I was in my car.
Headed to the gym,
right back into reality. Going for a swim, which was hard because... I couldn't focus. So that's just been sitting with me all day.
I mean, it's only been like 5 hours, but how do you feel?
Emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're still...
I mean, he was like, the therapist was like, take care of yourself.
Drink water.
Eat good food. Exercise. Be easy on yourself.
Nourish. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I don't, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I mean, not just...
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Well, not just to me, but like being willing to put that on the podcast, babe.
Yeah. I mean, it's super emotional and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it's pretty cool. you know, because I knew that, like, I knew that that ball of sadness was still in there, and to have somebody help me access it, you know, and when I was there, I was crying, you know, in the session.
But this isn't just like accessing it, like getting in touch with your emotions. This was like, you know, that was deep. There's going to be a lot of unfolding of that, but also just, I mean, you know, even hearing that, it's deep for me to know that that baby's okay. And, you know, like that, it is also meaningful for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for meeting that baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what's been different, but I have not met this baby at all other than, you know, talking to the baby medium, but like I have not had a relationship. So it's so sweet that you did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't like, I think it was this baby, 'cause I've had emotions about it, you know, in the moment. It was also like a connection to the family of four.
Of course.
You know, this 7-year journey of like, you know, creating this, and just this idea of the family of four,
mm-hmm.
that I recognize that I've carried with me for most of this time, and like releasing that. And it's not a full release. Like, I feel like I will go back there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't like, it wasn't like I exited, the clouds closed back, and like all was good, and the end, the movie, you know. It was about creating a relationship with that idea, mm-hmm. with that feeling and emotion and part of myself with that dream, instead of trying to close it. But I now have a connection to it, which is the important part.
Mm. That's so beautiful. I mean, there's just nothing else for me to say. Just so grateful that you shared that, both for, you know, some peace for me, but also just because it's a cool story.
It's a cool story.
But also just really because I appreciate you sharing that. It's so beautiful to hear. Yeah. I love that you're having experiences like that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. You know, Neo has seen the ghost of this baby twice. Again last night.
Really?
Yeah. I told you that.
You told me, yeah.
And he would not stop staring. But did I tell you that he also did like this?
Well, you have that special relationship with him, because when I go get him and it's dark in the morning, he just comes up to me and he's always like, I gotta go potty. He's very practical and literal with me, so.
It's good that he has all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did it again last night. He was pointing at the light, and I was like, what is that? You know, he knows it's the light.
Yeah.
He just looks at it, and he looks at me, and he won't say anything. And I was like, finally, I'd like ask him, I'm like, is it a person? But I don't think that it would be a person, like a human.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Not in that form.
I don't
form.
Think he knows. Anyways, it's interesting.
Mm. Oh, thanks again for listening. Love.
Love you so much.
I love you so much.
Is this the end of the podcast?
I think this is the end of this podcast.
I'm just so grateful that one of your eyes is lower, too, because I felt self-conscious. You know how as you age, and my teeth are getting a little more crunched together, as you age, like, your face starts to get a little warped and change? Somehow my parents haven't had that experience. They just look the exact same. They're like in some kind of, like, they're not having the sagging,
well-preserved.
Thing. Yeah. Your dad looks great, too, although he's a little, like, more kind of hollowed out.
Uh-huh.
But you and me, one of our eyes is going to be down by our tits, down by our cheeks. And I don't know, by the time I'm 40, 3 months.
3 months, you'll be 40.
Slip and slide party, which is what every 40-year-old wants. That's what we're doing, slip and slide party. You know, the slip and slide party, if I haven't already mentioned it, is not about the slip and slide. It's about everybody feeling free and loved and beautiful in their bathing suits.
Amen.
Because we know how much I love a bathing suit party.
You got enough for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everybody can wear one of mine.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
Thanks, y'all, for listening and participating. We always have a great time with you.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please go online and rate, review, share this with your friends. This is the way that we build this community.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye. Bye.